I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. After a four-month closure, Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro reopened the country's border with Colombia this weekend. Thousands of Venezuelans crossed into Colombia, most just for the day, seeking food and medical assistance. As the country's humanitarian and political crisis continues to unfold, life has become even more difficult for many Venezuelans. So far, 4 million Venezuelans have fled the country, and Colombia has taken the bulk of their neighbors' refugees. The United Nations estimates that 1.3 million Venezuelan refugees are currently living in Colombia. Some have received residence permits, but many are living in refugee camps or on the streets. It's a challenging migrant crisis for a country that's dealing with its own issues, including a regrouping of the militant dissident group, the FARC. I have two guests with me now who've been covering the impact of Venezuela's instability on the region. Brian Ellsworth is Venezuela Bureau Chief for Reuters, and he's in Caracas, Venezuela. And Tamara Tarasuk-Broner joins us from Buenos Aires, Argentina. She's a senior researcher covering the Americas for Human Rights Watch. Brian, let's start with you. Can you describe what happened when the section of the border was open between Colombia and Venezuela?
Well, the border has been closed since February 23rd as a result of the opposition's effort to bring aid into the country, which the government did not want. The opening of the border basically legalized what was a lot of traffic that was happening anyway. So people had for months been using back roads to move back and forth between the two countries. A lot of people who live near the border have to go across the border to buy basic things like groceries, or there are a lot of people who work on one side and live on the other, or more extreme cases of people will need things like dialysis treatment. So they will have to go across the border. And they were having to do this through illegal channels that were controlled basically by criminal networks that were charging them tolls. So now that the borders are open, people can go across the bridge, which there still isn't vehicle traffic, but it means that at least there is a legal avenue for people to go back and forth.
And Tamara, the border opening was just the latest development in the ongoing crisis in Venezuela. What's the scale of the exodus from Venezuela at this point?
The latest available statistics from the United Nations say that more than 4 million Venezuelans have fled the country in recent years. That is over 10% of the population. And one important point is that this is the number that has been recorded by the United Nations. As Brian was saying, you know, there has been a lot of back and forth through the checkpoints that are not the bridge and are not the legal checkpoints. And just to give you a sense, in the Venezuela-Colombia border, you have 7 official checkpoints and over 270 unofficial crossings. So it's very, very difficult to know the real extent of the exodus.
And can you tell us a little bit, Tamara, what the conditions are that poor people in Colombia are living in?
Venezuelans crossing the border, when you go to the border, what you see is more and more people that are fleeing the humanitarian crisis in Venezuela. So people cross the border, as Brian was saying, to buy groceries and go back, but you see a lot of people who are crossing the border to get medical care. And you have a total problem in hospitals in Colombia that are having a very hard time providing health care both to the Colombian population and the Venezuelan population arriving. And you also have a situation at the border and in other parts of Colombia and Latin America, I would say, in which countries are struggling to receive immigrants in economies that are not prepared for that.
Brian, with the political crisis in Venezuela, has there been a rise in the number of people attempting to leave the country?
Well, it's very hard to know, as Tamara says. It's not something that is particularly closely recorded. It's something we definitely hear a lot more about. So the Colombian border is sort of the logical place to go because that's where the roads take people. Some have also been leaving through Brazil. We also have had some recent tragedies, including the sinking of a passenger launch on the way to Trinidad that was also carrying migrants. We've had two such situations. So we definitely hear of more of these kinds of things going on, but the overall big picture of it is it's just a steady trickle of people that are leaving through any border that they can find or whatever the most logical choice for them is. And it's not something that we have any reason to think will slow down.
Tamara, we've reported a lot about the sort of lack of humanity almost that comes across in handling the crisis here at the U.S. southern border when it comes to migrants. The United States is obviously dealing with this. Europe is dealing with this. How do those compare to the treatment of migrants by Colombian and other South American officials?
It's actually very interesting because Venezuela is a country that used to welcome immigrants from other parts of the region in the 70s and 80s, people fleeing dictatorships in South America, people fleeing Colombia's armed conflict, and in a way that has set the stage for a more welcoming Latin America society to Venezuelan immigrants. However, it's a very big risk because as the numbers increase, the immigration of Venezuelans is generating tensions, and there have been some incidents of xenophobia that are not widespread at the moment, but that is clearly a risk that we need to watch out for.
Brian, we know that Colombian President Iván Duque has been urged to extend Colombian citizenship to babies born there to Venezuelan parents. We know that that's a big issue here in the United States. We discussed this. How likely is it that that would happen?
I don't see that being particularly likely. The Venezuelan population in Colombia is above a million, as we understand it right now, and is likely to grow. Colombian social service agencies just don't know what to do with the influx of refugees. There's an undercurrent of xenophobia that, if the situation is not controlled, could start to rise and cause unpleasant situations. There's a lot of pressure, I think, on Colombia. Obviously, what they want is a change of government in Venezuela, which would allow at least some of these people to return. I can't see at the moment right now the Colombian authorities approving that. I'm just not sure that the political environment would be conducive to it, even though there are a lot of people who would be in favor of that.
And Brian, are migrants traveling to other South American countries, like Brazil or Peru, perhaps?
Absolutely. The folks who leave through the Brazilian border, as I understand it, tend to stay in the north of Brazil. That's where they end up being concentrated. The migrants who leave through Colombia, which is where sort of the road system goes through, a lot of them, obviously they'll start in Colombia, but a lot of them quickly realize that Colombia has a lot of Venezuelan migrants already. So many of them, for a couple of years now, will continue on. So some get as far south as Chile, but there are now significant populations in Ecuador and Peru as well.
Tamara, as you mentioned earlier, Venezuela has a history of accepting immigrants and migrants. People from in the region from countries like Colombia and Argentina did seek refuge in Venezuela not too long ago. Your family was a part of that. Has Venezuela changed in that regard?
Yeah, my parents are Argentine and they fled Argentina's military dictatorship in the late 1970s. That's why I was born in Venezuela. And it's a country that now is expelling its people. It's actually the Venezuelan authorities who are, you know, cracking down on dissent, have not adopted measures to address the humanitarian emergency that Venezuelans in the country are facing. The economic situation is very, very complicated. And this is what is causing people to flee. And I would say, as Brian was saying earlier, not only is there no reason to think that this will change, if there is no real change in Venezuela, I would confidently predict that the number of Venezuelans fleeing the country will continue to grow. And that is an irony, because as you were saying, this is a country that used to welcome people.
And also, Colombia itself is dealing with its own issues, Tamara. In 2016, Colombia signed a peace deal with FARC, which mandated that they lay down their arms, but FARC militants are not going away so quickly. Is this impacting refugees or how the Colombian government is responding to them?
There's clearly a link there. We've done research in areas, in border areas controlled by armed groups in Colombia. And what you see is that there are not only Colombian civilians who are victims of the armed group's abuses, but you also see Venezuelans who cross the border fleeing Venezuelans' crisis and now are in the middle of Colombia's armed conflict, suffering the same abuses that Colombian civilians suffer, but in a much more precarious situation because these Venezuelans in these areas have no access to a legal state in Colombia. And that makes them much more vulnerable to abuse and to become part of illicit activities.
Brian, just want to wrap up with you. I mean, what do you see as the long-term impact here on the region of this mass exodus of Venezuelans?
The region has never seen a displacement of people like this one. Perhaps Colombia during the Civil War era would be the most comparable, and it was nowhere on this scale. I think the impact is we're looking at a growing strain on social services. We're looking at the potential isolation of Venezuelans into communities that do not have access to basic things, starting with citizenship, as you noted earlier, as well as the possibility of becoming integrated into these societies. This is something that countries, Latin American countries, are just not prepared for, as they do not have economies that can absorb this level of migration of people who are, in effect, been made destitute by their own country's circumstances. I would think that the long-term concerns without these issues being addressed are problems of xenophobia, isolation, and overall just growth of problems, sort of social problems that are endemic to any refugee situation. So there are a lot of multilateral organizations trying to address the issues, but the problem, as it continues to grow, will require a greater level of resources, and it's not evident how much will be available to address it.
And Brian, do we know the United States' position on this? And the Trump administration specifically has supported the insurgent Juan Guaido, who appears to have lost whatever edge he had so far. And at the same time, the United States has made it very clear that they are not interested in taking in migrants, particularly from Central and South America. What is our position in all this?
The migration from Venezuela is not, I mean, in, you know, 5-10 years ago, there were much smaller numbers who people were migrating for slightly different reasons. The current refugee exodus is not, I would say, going to directly affect immigration flows to the United States. The United States has made clear that it wants Maduro gone, but it has not, along with the opposition, they've not yet been able to actually make that happen. I think part of what's going on is the United States is trying to pressure for a quick solution for political reasons, but I also think the region really desperately needs it.
Brian Ellsworth is the Reuters Venezuela Bureau Chief, and Tamara Tarasuk-Broner is the Senior Americas Researcher for Human Rights Watch. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.